May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 462. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me now and evermore. 462. Let us read together from God's holy word, Psalm 73. Psalm 73. Truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone, my steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish,
when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain, violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness, they have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say, I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me, until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream, when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I, and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion for ever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. May the Lord bless that reading of his holy word and teach us how to pray. Most kind and gracious and almighty Lord God, we come this evening hour amongst the busy scenes of life and seek if it could please thee to draw near to thee. O Lord, we are a poor group of needy sinners. Oh, that thou wouldst come and grant thy gracious help and presence as we seek to worship thee this evening. Lord, we long for thy Holy Spirit to be known and felt here, to lift us, Lord, above the reach of inferior things, to set our hearts on things above, to stay our minds on thee. O Lord, that thou art shut the world and Satan out from us, we pray. Shut us in with thyself. May we be led, Lord, by the right hand. And Lord, do grant us an entering into thy pavilion, that thou art, Lord, guard us from all those thoughts that, Lord, so often creep in. Left to ourselves, Lord, we cannot even hear, let alone speak. Lord, how the hearers and this poor sinner in the pulpit, Lord, we each need thy gracious help. So do come even this night and draw near, we pray. We, Lord, thank thee for many, many mercies. The safe journeys granted to each here, we would not take these things for granted. We do pray, Lord, that thou be with thy dear servant, who, Lord, is unable to be here this evening. Be with him where he is, and lay thy healing hand upon him, and help him, Lord, we pray. But may these appointments, Lord, prove to be thy appointments. Lord, we do pray that thou art come and grant a blessing, Lord, we humbly pray, that there may be those, Lord, who have come this night with that desire, so we would see Jesus. May their prayers be heard and answered. Do reveal thyself to us each, we humbly pray, as the sinner's friend, as the advocate with the Father, as our great and glorious High Priest. O Lord, may we be given those clear views of thee. And Lord, may those views be longer lasting, thy visits longer lasting, we pray, and more frequent. For Lord, left to ourselves, our feet would nigh slip. Lord, we would make shipwreck of all here below, unless thou art with us. So may we prove, Lord, prove thee faithful to thy word. Do, Lord, come then and speak to each one. We pray thy word this night may meet cases and touch hearts, that there may be, Lord, those longing after thee, those, Lord, feeling bound by Satan and captives, Lord, may there be a loosing and letting go. May there be a setting free of the captives. May there be thy quickening Holy Spirit, Lord, quickening one and another into newness of life. Lord, do lay thy healing hand upon those broken hearts, and Lord, apply that healing balm. We pray, Lord, that if there are those mourning over their sins, Lord, that thou wilt give them the oil of joy for mourning, and Lord, that thou wilt pour in and grant that binding up. We pray, Lord, for those gathered here. Thou knowest the varying concerns and cases of each. May the souls here, Lord, be precious in thy sight. May we each live to prove that we are indeed thy dear children. And may each gathered here week by week, Lord, be found numbered among thy dear people. Leave none out, we pray. Oh, how can we bear that piercing thought? What if my name should be left out when thou for them dost call? Lord, then come, we pray. Grant assurance, Lord, to those seeking. Lord, confirm our evidences. Renew former blessings. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. O Lord, and may there be that quickening flame in our heart. Oh, do fan the flame, Lord, we pray. Our hearts may burn within us. And Lord, that we may leave this place knowing and feeling that thou hast been present. May it be noised that Jesus was in the house. Lord, then come. Make our happiness complete. And Lord, do open our deaf ears and open our blind eyes. And Lord, we pray that thou keep our eyes from the evil of this world. May we not be drawn by Satan. Lord, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For we have this heart, Lord, that's prone to wander. Oh, then hold us fast to thee, and never leave us nor forsake us. And Lord, be with each in the unknown way. We pray, Lord, if there are those who are unable to be here through illness, and ask, Lord, thy healing hand upon them. Thou knowest, Lord, the burdens of each. Oh, and we do pray that, Lord, if there are those who do not long to be here, oh Lord, we pray that thou art work in their hearts. Oh, and Lord, we think of those prodigals. Oh, that there may be a bringing back. And Lord, we do pray that though they may feel unworthy, though they may, Lord, desire to return unto thee as a servant, oh, may that returning be as a son. Oh, then, Lord, we pray that thou art come. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Captivate our minds, we pray. And, Lord, overcome all our doubts and fears. Take away all unbelief, we pray. We mourn over that sin of unbelief. Oh, that we would believe thy word. May we be like that man. Oh, I would believe, Lord, help thou mine unbelief. Oh, then, Lord, we pray that thou be with us each. And, Lord, take us each home in peace and safety at the close of this service. And all that lies ahead of us in our lives, do sanctify and use for thy honour and glory. And for our real eternal good, we pray. We think of the young people, Lord, growing up in this wicked world. Oh, help them, we pray. And the decisions they have to make, and Lord, may they lay all at thy feet, seeking thy will in all things. Those seeking partners in life, Lord, appear, we pray. Grant suitable partners, we humbly beg. And those with changes in their lives, new school classes and various things, Lord, at this time of year changing, we pray that thou art appear. Lord, how often thy people can look back at school days of their youth and
offering up a prayer unto thee, and in love and in mercy thou hast heard and answered. Oh, then may we be emboldened to pray on. Try what our poor prayers can do. And may we be led, Lord, to seek our eternal standing with thee, that we may each, Lord, seek to make our calling and our election sure. We ask all these things. We're poor, needy sinners. May thy grace be sufficient, Lord, we pray. For thou hast said, my grace is sufficient for thee, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. Then, Lord, may we prove that thy grace is sufficient for each, we pray, and thy suitability to meet our every need, we humbly pray, that thou wilt supply more grace, pour into our poor souls, we pray, fill our hearts with the love of Christ, we ask, feeling unworthy of the least of thy mercies, but thank thee that we can come on mercy's ground, pleading that blood that was shed for thy poor people. May it be sprinkled on our hearts and on our prayers and on our worship, we pray, as we ask all in thy worthy name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Hymn 1024. Oh, for a heart to praise the Lord, a heart from sin set free, a heart that's sprinkled with the blood so freely shed for me. 1024.
Thank you.
you turn with me to Psalm 73. With the Lord's help, I'll speak to you this evening from verse 25. Psalm 73, verse 25. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. Psalm 73, the 25th verse. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. Are there any of you here this evening who from an honest heart can enter in to what Asaph has written in this psalm? You've been left to yourself. You've looked on at those things that your neighbours and work colleagues and those in the world around you have. You hear them talking of their plans and their schemes and how often they seem to go from one prosperity to another. And they seem to have such peace. They have this confidence. They have joy. You look at them, they're often laughing and joking, and why, their life seems to be going so well, and their children seem healthy, and oh, there's many things that they seem to have. In fact, you'd say, well, they have it all. They have all is going well, all is going at ease with them. And poor soul, here you are. And these things have been brought to your attention. Why? Because all is not well with you. Your life seems to be upside down. You've made plans, but they've come to nothing. You've had your schemes, but they seem to be unsuccessful. You have problems in your life. There may be those family concerns, ill health, and your children, your loved ones. All things seem out of joint. All things seem to be going not smoothly in your life. And it's at those points that Satan steps in, doesn't he? And oh, doesn't he love to bring before our eyes these of the world and point to you and say, ah, but you see, they don't go to chapel. They have all this. The Lord is blessing them, isn't he? Maybe there are those of your relatives and friends who have left our denomination and gone off to other denominations. And why, they seem their house is rising rapidly, and all the time you feel that yours hasn't even come out the ground. Oh, friends, how often we are left to ourselves. We have the words of Asaph, don't we? We look upon them, and they are all at ease, and all is going not well with you. Why have they got this? Why have they got this peace? Why have they got this confidence? Why is it that they're not troubled about that day that's set before them? You see, friends, they're blinded. Satan has blinded them. There is a day, beloved friends, before everyone born in this world from Adam to the end of time has a day when they will stand before Almighty God.
And you know, their confidence is a vain confidence. You see, they have no idea and they have no concern that they are to stand before God. They have no concern. Beloved friends, how solemn. And so their confidence is based on a lie. Satan has told them there's nothing after this life. Satan has told them there is no heaven or hell. It's nothing. Live your life to the full. This is all that there is. The pleasures of this world, there is no hereafter. This is it. And so, friends, they are blinded, and they're believing this lie that's fed to them by Satan. And they have this peace, but it's based on this lie that's sown in their hearts. Oh, you know, friends, if you're here this evening and you haven't this peace, you need to thank the Lord from the bottom of your heart. If you're here this evening feeling, how will I do in that day? Beloved friends, you need to thank the Lord for his mercy. Oh, that our eyes may be opened, that we may see that this day is fast hastening on, that none of us know what an hour or day may bring forth. The wicked have no concern. Oh, to have a concern, to be shown while we are in the flesh, while it's today, to be shown a need of a hiding place. See, everyone at that great day that we're speaking of, everyone will need a hiding place at that day. We read that the world will cry for the rocks and the hills to cover them. That's the hiding place that they'll cry for. Oh, to be found, sheltering beneath the precious blood of the Lamb. The Lamb without spot and without wrinkle. The Lamb, the Passover Lamb. That sacrifice for his dear people, his shed blood. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. You see, Asaph says at the beginning, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. You see, he's been shaken by Satan. Satan's coming in and he's questioning, making him question his religion. He's questioning his standing with God. And, well, why are these things not right in my life? Why am I not prospering? The word of God says, them that honour me, I will honour. You know, Satan ever used that against you, friend? He has me. He said to me, them that honour me, I will honour. When everything was going wrong in my life, providentially. You know how Satan loves to quote the word of God back to his dear people. He says, but them that honour me, I will honour. And look at you. You're about to bring dishonour. You're about to bring dishonour on his name. Look at the pathway you're in. You can't be one of the Lord's dear people. Oh, he's supposed to love you like a dear child. Well, why is he not looking after you like one? Why has he brought you into this path? If he can do all things, why has he not made it all a plain? Why is there such tempest, such billows? Why is it all darkness? Why is it that the world is going from prosperity to prosperity and here you are? And you've neither the full assurance that you're one of the Lord's and everything in your life outside of your religion and church is all in disarray. And you say, aye, it is that way. It is, Lord. Oh, then do come. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? We read those lovely words in Psalm 101. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? Lord, approve that thy grace is sufficient. The Lord speaking to his dear people, What was it that settled Asaph's mind? He's all in disarray, and we read it here. He says that it was when he went, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. Oh, and that's it, friends. When the Lord brings you into his house, when the Lord shows you his word, when he applies a word to you, you were almost willing to give it up for the world. You were almost, if left to yourself, you'd say, oh, well, I'll put this religion to one side and I'll follow after the riches and the prosperity of the world. But oh, when the Lord applies his word, oh, that it sets our feet on the rock, that we may stand on the rock, Christ Jesus. And you know that word, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. You know, that was a word concerning Moses and his choice of fleeing the riches of Egypt and choosing to suffer affliction with the Hebrew children, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Oh, well, you know, friends, when the Lord meets with you, when he shows you your own self, a little of yourself, when he shows you your sins and what your sins deserve, when he shows you the exceeding iniquity of them, the deceitfulness of them, how he abhors them, as you mourn over them, as they cut deep into your soul, as you see there's no pardon in the law, there's no forgiveness in the law. Oh, and under the conviction of it, you fall before him, and he makes known to you himself as the friend of sinners, the sinner's only hope. As he does this for you, beloved friends, why doesn't this wipe out all these so-called afflictions that we may have to endure here below? These choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God, friends, what is it? What is it that we're choosing rather? What is it that the dear people, enabled by him to make that right choice? What is it that the Holy Spirit enables them to choose? Having chosen them in first, they choose him in return. What is it? They choose to escape those things that is coming to every one of the world. Beloved friends, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God, may we not choose to suffer, choose those afflictions that the world will suffer at that great day. Beloved friends, what is this world? What are these things of this world compared to eternity? And here, Asaph, by his going to the house of God, as the Lord applies his word, as he is enabled to stop looking around at his life and the things around him, as enabled by the Holy Spirit, he does what he should have done. In the first moment he was tempted, cast his eyes up to heaven. And as he sees, and as the Lord meets with him, he has these assurances, these promises flooding into his heart. You see, the first thing that happens is the word of God, you know, it brings him back to that repentance, doesn't it? He has to confess that he was a beast before the Lord, foolish, ignorant. Oh, with looking back at my past blessings that the Lord has given me, how could I go so far to despise all those former mercies? How could I forget those former blessings? How far has Satan brought me? How powerful are his temptations? How unstable is my own heart? You know, friends, if our eternal salvation depended on us keeping hold of it, why, we would fail. Oh, that the Lord would keep hold of each one of us Oh, you know, he has promised, none shall pluck them from my Father's hand. That's a blessed word, that, isn't it? You know, many a soul left to themselves would leap out of the Father's hands. They would. But none shall pluck them. None can leave. Whom he loves, he ever loves, and loves them to the end. And so he mourns over his state. But the Lord, you see, there's a restoring of former mercies. It's restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. This is brought to his remembrance. There's a nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast hold of me by my right hand. Oh, what mercy that the Lord holds his dear people by the right hand. We have, don't we, those beautiful words in Isaiah. Fear not. There's a fear not. There's a fear not. I am the Lord. I will hold thee by the right hand. Hold thee by the right hand. Oh, to be held by our right hand. That the Lord, taking a poor sinner by his right hand. You see, with his other hand, the Lord is defending him. He is making a way for him. He takes that sinner by that sinner's right hand and has promised to lead them through this wilderness here below. And it's a fear not for that poor sinner. It's a fear not, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Oh, that the Lord would reach out that gracious hand and take each here and whisper the fear not, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Oh, that we may believe what we do believe, that our unbelief may be taken away, that he will increase our faith in his word, that we may trust him more. Thou hast holden me by my right hand, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel and afterward receive me to glory. Oh, that knowledge, that hope given to Asaph here, that there's a hope that he will one day be received to glory. Despite all his failings, his shortcomings, despite the fact that he's ignorant and foolish, despite that he so basely follows after Satan when left to himself, yet the Lord is almighty. The Lord is merciful. The Lord is gracious. The Lord is full of compassion. And the Lord knows. He knows what it is, beloved friends, to be tempted. May we ever remember that. The Lord Jesus Christ, having taken upon himself the form of a servant, who it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren. Why? Why did it behove him to be made like unto them? Well, it was so he could live the life they couldn't live. It was so he could fulfill the law that they could not fulfill. He was to live that spotless life. It was a life fraught with danger and temptation and sadness and sorrow and bitterness. Oh, and he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Yet he lived this life free from sin, without a murmur, without a backsliding, without a wrong thought. But, beloved friends, in all this, you see, he suffered. He suffered being tempted. Satan buffeted him. Satan tempted him stronger than any of his dear people will be tempted. Oh, and he endured it. He endured it on their behalf. And friends, a knowledge of this, a hope of this, a hope that this dear man came to this earth to suffer, bleed and die for me and for you. The hope of that, that we are in that number, that our names were written on his breast. That hope of being found right at last, received into glory, why outpours this beautiful text this evening, whom have I in heaven but thee? Well, beloved friends, can you say this? Is there anything in your heart that goes out when you hear these words, whom have I in heaven but thee? Oh, friends, we may have loved ones, family, friends, those who have passed from this world to the next. We have a strong persuasion, a good hope for them, that they are found in heaven at last. But though they're in heaven, who is in heaven but thee? Who have I in heaven but thee? I have my own dear father, passing away when I was 5, received into glory. Oh, but whom have I in heaven but thee? Oh, the eternal Father, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. May we each be wholly taken up by this dear man. Whom have I in heaven but thee? The Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, who having put away the sins of his dear people, borne the punishment in that garden, and endured the scourgings and buffetings in the judgment hall, and as a sheep before the shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth, and then going on to Calvary. And there, the shame, the humility, the suffering. Oh, and those words, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Oh, friends, his sufferings at Calvary and his death, being laid in that tomb, and that glorious resurrection, rising the third day by the power of his Father, the Holy Spirit, rising, the Blessed Trinity working in perfect unity, and raising the Lord Jesus Christ, and that glorious ascension into heaven. Oh, and as he departed this world in bodily form, lifting up his hands, those hands that were pierced with those nails, he lifted up his hands and he blessed them, and then is taken into glory. And what a triumphant entrance into glory, sitting then at his Father's right hand. Whom have I in heaven but thee? You friends, there's no one else required, is there, in your life? You say, but I have a dear father, a dear mother, passed into heavens. Beloved friends, we have our earthly relationships. We have our loved ones here below. We have our wives, our husbands, our children, our parents. But what are all these compared to him? Oh, beloved friends, don't misunderstand me. I love my wife dearly. I love my wife and my children dearly. But you know, friends, they can't do what the Lord has done for me. They can't. They can't put away my sin. And at that great day, when I am to stand before him, his throne, it's then, and only then, that I will need that blessed advocate with the Father. You see, I'm a man who has committed many sins, but I have a hope that if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And you see, friends, that the love of a sinner to this glorious and great high priest, the eternal God in heaven, that the love of a poor, hell-deserving sinner, oh, it surpasses every earthly tie. Oh, what is this world to me? Oh, you see, friends, we're to part with all one day. We can't take anything with us. We came into this world with nothing, and we're to leave with nothing. And at that great day, you see, friends, it doesn't matter how well united to your dear wife and husband or your children you are, there's to be a parting. There's to be a parting. It's you, beloved friends, and me on our own before the Father. Oh, friends, you see, we're to be found on our own, one to one. Oh, beloved friends, then how will I do in the swelling of Jordan? What is my hope? You say, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. The voice of that dear child of God, the breathings of a living soul are in this verse. Whom have I in heaven but thee? There is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. In your life, is the Lord weaning you away from your idols? Is he? You see, it must come. We must be weaned off those things that we are building on that are short of Christ. We must be weaned away from those props that are anything short of the righteousness and blood of Christ. We must be prized away, and it's painful. There must be a stripping out. There must be a cutting back. Our religion that's not founded upon the rock must be stripped away. We must not be building on the prayers of loved ones. I can't build my eternal standing and safety and my hope of heaven on my Father's prayers. Oh, I thank the Lord for my Father's prayers, and may his prayers continue to be answered. But, friends, I can't build my hope on those prayers. My hope must be built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I must be weaned away from my love of the world. I must be have the world crucified to myself. I must have it put away from me. You see, it's a snare. I have a love of various things in this world left to myself. You know, there are plenty of allurements and distractions. How our young people are living in a world of... It's never been so much to allure them, has there? It's never been so much to draw us away. Why, a touch of your fingertips, through your computer screen, you can be the other side of the world. You can see such glorious things that the world has got to offer. The pleasures of the world. It's never been so easy to commit sins, has it? Oh, there's sin abounding in everything, in everywhere in this world. There's snares and pitfalls everywhere, beloved friends. We need to be weaned away from these things. You know, some have a love of cars. Some have a love of money. Some have a love of holidays. Some have a love of the opinion other people have of them. Some have a love of learning and all the glory that comes from fellow man praising them for their academic achievements. There's many, many, many things. But, you know, friends, where is Christ in them? Oh, well, what good will they do? Real good will they do us? Oh, that we may redeem the time, that the Lord may draw us, that the Lord may take possession of us, that they may captivate our minds, that our minds may be taken wholly up with Him, that we may have our affections set on things above, that the Lord will reveal that, you know, in a moment these things can vanish. The Lord can give and the Lord can take away at His will. And, you know, the things of this world perish in a moment. You see, 12 years ago today, there was those dreadful attacks in America, weren't there? And in a moment those souls were taken from this world into the next. From one moment they're going to work in going to their offices, and the next, friends, they're standing before Almighty God. Oh, that we may heed the warnings, that there is no peace with the world. There is a rest for the people of God. There is a peace that passeth all understanding. How can a sinner get to that great day on his deathbed and smile and welcome the Lord's coming, welcome that blessed hour when they will leave all here below? How can a poor sinner who only has a hope, who having not seen, he loves the Lord, but having not seen Him with his bodily eye, yet he has this hope that all will be well. The Lord has spoken, fear not, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Oh, and it may be 30, 50, 80 years since the Lord has spoken that word, and yet it's remained. The Holy Spirit's applied it. And though he may have backslid, though he may have not been in the spirit of it, how often we're not in the spirit of these things as we venture on, yet, friends, the Lord applies that word. He restores it into his soul. He brings it back to his remembrance. It flashes before his mind. There is a friend that sticketh fast. This friend of sinners, whom have I in heaven but thee? Have you a hope, a sweet hope, that this dear man has passed into the heavens and is sitting at the Father's right hand for you? Have you any evidence in your life? Can you point to a prayer heard and answered? Wonderful thing, friend, if you can. Tonight, say, I have a hope that the Lord cannot say, depart from me, I never knew you. You see, friends, if you've been on your knees begging for forgiveness, if the Lord has brought you to feel your need of Him, you see, you've cried out, give me Christ or else I die. He can't say, depart from me, I never knew you. He caused you to be there. He drew you. He's drawn you through many waters. He's brought you out of the Egypt of this world. And though you may feel that, well, I haven't the assurance, I can't say, whom have I in heaven but thee? Beloved friends, if he's begun a good work in you, he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. If your desire this evening is, oh, when wilt thou come unto me? If that's your desire, then friends, may you hear the voice of your beloved. Behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. Oh, may you hear him coming. What are these words he's saying? Words of peace. You're troubled. The Lord has said, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. As he's corrected you in your life, as he's crossed your purposes, as he's crossed your paths, he's shut doors that you wanted opening, he's opened doors that you really didn't want opening, as he's led you all away through the wilderness, and that word has been, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, and it's been one of correction, rebuke. Oh, may you see it tonight in love, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Beloved friends, how often our thoughts are that the Lord is against us. The Lord hasn't heard my prayers. The Lord is looking down in anger upon me. How often our thoughts are ones negative thoughts. Our thoughts are ones based on our unbelief. We cannot believe that the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is free. And if it's free, we can't believe it's for sinners. And if it's for sinners, we can't believe it's for such vile sinners as us. And these, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Oh, how can I think I could be one of the children of God? Beloved friends, may you see these thoughts. For I know the thoughts I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you an expected end. To give you an end with expectation. You see, friends, if the Lord applies that word in your heart, I know the thoughts I have toward, I think toward you, saith the Lord. Doesn't matter about your thoughts, poor sinner. What are the thoughts of the Lord toward you? Oh, are they thoughts of peace and not of evil? To give you an expected end, beloved friends, whom have I in heaven but thee, this great and glorious and almighty God? But Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Are you feeling forgotten? Are you feeling forsaken? As the Lord said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee, but you're feeling like the Lord has turned his back on you. How often Zion, the church of God, how often his professing people and those who are yet to profess his name, those seeking souls, how often they're tempted. The Lord's forsaken me. The Lord's forgotten me. Can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Why? Why, beloved friends? Why will Almighty God not forget such a worm sitting in Swavesey Chapel this evening? Why will he not forget such a worm as I standing in the pulpit at Swavesey Chapel this evening? Why is it? In the many millions of creatures on this earth, why is a soul precious in his sight? Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. They're engraven in those blessed palms of his hands. You see, as our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ sits at his Father's right hand, he's a man with wounds still gaping wide. Do you believe it? And as he lays, as he's the day's man for his people, as he makes intercession, as he lays his hand on his father's throne, he takes hold of the sinner, and he makes peace. He makes peace. He brings peace. There's a blessed union. There's a joining together of that the people of God to his Father. I in them and thou in me. This blessed union. And even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. These little ones, who are these little ones? They've got a little faith, that they're new in the way, that the Lord has dealt with them. He's shown them a need, convicted them of their sins. They've been led to plead the precious blood of Christ. They have been with a little hope. They see the blood of Jesus Christ. His Son cleanseth us from all sin. And there's a desire in their hearts. Oh, may I be washed in that precious blood. Oh, take my soul and plunge me in that fountain open for sin and uncleanness. And so these little ones, they've not professed his name long. Maybe they've not professed it openly. Maybe they're silent. But in their hearts they know the Lord has heard and answered their prayers. Oh, they may not have that full assurance that the Lord has washed away all their sin and the full forgiveness of sin. But friends, may you pray on. You may have a little hope. The Lord has heard your prayer. He's turned. He's smiled. You felt his smiles on you. The Son of Righteousness has arisen and is healing in his wings, and he's shone into your heart. And there's a little glimmer. In this dark world, there's a glimmer, maybe. And if my soul, and if free grace, why not for me? There's a little hope, but why not for me? I am a vile sinner, yet the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. He saved to the uttermost all those that come unto God by him. Oh, though I am an uttermost sinner, there is a leading in my heart. Why not? Why not for me? Who can tell? Who can tell if the Lord will be gracious to me? And so he's led to pour out his soul to the Lord. Oh, may there be that pouring out in prayer, in confession of sin, as indicted by the Holy Spirit. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Friends, what more can he say to us, poor sinners here below? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Asaph had a blessed hope of this. Whom have I in heaven but thee? He has an advocate with the Father. He has this glorious man who will at that great day present him before his Father's throne, holy and unblameable and unreprovable. You see, friends, I can't even now fully understand that. Your name and mine are holy, and my name do not go in the same sentence. They really don't, friends. If you saw that the corruption of my heart, how I am by nature, holy, your name, you, friend, as led by the Holy Spirit, you who are building on the rock Christ Jesus, your end is an end with expectation, and your expectation is this, that you will stand at that great day, not just as a, and we say not just, we're not belittling it in any way, may the Lord forbid, but not just, beloved friends, a pardoned sinner. What mercy, what unspeakable mercy, but not just a pardoned sinner. You're to stand as having never sinned. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, has cleansed you from all sin. And he's remembered your sin no more. And he's cast it into the uttermost parts of the sea. But under his pure eyes, under the eyes of Almighty God, who seeth all things, you would be a sinner. You would be a pardoned sinner. So you'll be white and cleansed, and you'll be white as snow and pure. But you see, it's not pure enough. You see, you'd be a pardoned sinner. There's a robe prepared. It's that glorious life he's lived, and it's less a shadow of a spot, should on my soul be found, then there's this glorious robe that it encompasses that poor sinner, and it's imputed upon him and her, and it's not that sinner's, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. He wrought that robe. It's a spotless, it's a precious, a most costly robe, and yet it's free and it's given. Imputed upon this poor sinner, he stands before the Father, viewed through Christ and the life he lived, as having never sinned. He's holy, he's unblameable, and he's unreprovable in his sight, in the sight of Almighty God. Whom have I in heaven but thee? Oh, friends, who could impute upon a sinner such a marvellous, spotless robe as this? Who could present such a worm, such a wretch, such an unworthy, sinful creature, holy and unblameable and unreprovable? The two things, they're poles apart, they're worlds apart, but yet, friends, they're made nigh by the blood of Christ. This precious blood that's sprinkled upon their poor hearts, their poor souls, it's washed every sin away, and they stand complete in him. Whom have I in heaven but thee? Who else do I need in heaven but thee? I don't need anything on this world below. The world can have all. The world can take all. I've nothing I desire more than this knowledge, to know my Jesus crucified by far excels all things beside, doesn't it, friends? I could from all things parted be, but never, never, Lord, from thee. Oh, take what thou wilt, but leave my hope of heaven at last. Leave me with a view of heaven. Leave me with a view of the Lord Jesus Christ. Leave me with a view of him suffering at Calvary. May I see mercy streams in streams of blood. May I look upon him and live. May his life, his death, give me life. May his sorrow bring me joy. May his glorious resurrection, may I be found rising with him at that great day. Oh, may I have risen from that grave in him, that I may die the death of the righteous, that I may be willing, yet not just willing, may I want to, may I have no desire for the earthly things. May I be willing to cast it all to one side and part with all. Take up the cross and follow him. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. Oh, friends, young and old, you think, my mind goes briefly to Jephthah. In the book of Judges, read the account of his life. You see, he made this rash vow. He promised that whatever met him, if the Lord would help him in battle and hear and answer his prayers, whatever met him, he would offer it as a sacrifice to the Lord as he, when he returned home. And out from the door of his house came his only daughter. Friends, how solemn. And here, you see, we have an account. Oh, you know, friends, that dear little, that young girl, you know what love she had, didn't she? You know, what humility. What were her words? She's, her father's beside himself. He's beside himself. He's vowed to Almighty God. The Lord has heard his vow, and the Lord has fulfilled his part. And now Jephthah's got to sacrifice his own daughter. Oh, what a pathway. And she said unto him, my father, if thou hast opened thy mouth unto the Lord, do to me according to that which proceedeth out of thy mouth. For as much as the Lord hath taken vengeance for thee of thine enemies, even of the children of Ammon. You see, you could not utter those words, could you? Without a hope that there is one in heaven, that the God in heaven is your God. She says, the honour and glory of God is above my life. The world would say, but she's got the whole of her life ahead of her. She's got the whole of her life ahead of her. Yet, her father has made a vow before God, be it so. So be it. Oh, may the Lord give us that religion that is willing to part with all. Willing to part with all and take up the cross and follow. How can these things be? How can they? It's for the love of Christ constraining us. If your heart, friend, is overflowing with what the Lord has done for your soul, if your heart is brimming over with what the Lord has done, nothing here will matter. There are those things in our lives. There's tomorrow, the unknown way. But may we be above those things. May we have times in our lives when we can look beyond them, look above them, escape the reach of them, see that they're temporal. What is it? What is eternal in them? And may we seek by the Holy Spirit to make our calling and our election sure. May that religion be ours. May we be able to say, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. May the Lord add his blessing. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Richard Field is expected to preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Pont next Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn 184. A fullness resides in Jesus our head and ever abides to answer our need. The Father's good pleasure has laid up in store a plentiful treasure to give to the poor. 184.
Jesus, do draw near and go with each one, we pray. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.